yesterday's attacks is another thing.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
The United States has for decades portrayed itself as a mediator that's trying to find a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. It has participated in and backed many rounds of talks on the issue, but all the negotiations so far have failed to produce tangible results. Washington stands widely accused of siding with its staunch ally Israel and failing to remain impartial. This is because Israel keeps grabbing Palestinian land built on occupied territories, among other violations, and America provides it with diplomatic cover. This map shows how Palestinian territories have been shrinking over the past decades, as America's stances have given the green light to the Israeli regime to seize more land. U.S. President Donald Trump has spoken of a new initiative to push for a solution. But there have been widespread warnings about Trump's emerging plan for the Israeli-Palestinian dispute. Trump has taken American favoritism toward Israel to a new level, and in doing so, he has shown no regard for international law and the rights of the Palestinians. Earlier in December, Trump went ahead with a campaign promise and endorsed Israel's claim to all of Jerusalem al-Quds as its capital.
It's something that has to be done. That is why, consistent with the Jerusalem Embassy Act, I am also directing the State Department to begin preparation to move the American Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Trump's announcement drew widespread international condemnation, but that seems to be having little or no effect on America's stance. Since Trump's announcement, Washington has defiantly defended the illegal decision.
The president has announced that the United States recognizes the obvious, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
Trump's announcement, however, is not considered a major American policy shift. Previous U.S. presidents like Barack Obama and George W. Bush had also described Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of Israel.
Jerusalem is still the capital of Israel and must remain an undivided city accessible to all.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
I continue to say that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, and I have said that before, and I will say it again.
And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
Trump's predecessors only refrained from officially recognizing al-Quds as Israel's capital over national security concerns. Many Muslim leaders and resistance groups have warned that America's recognition of al-Quds as Israel's capital once again proves the futility of any U.S.-led effort to settle the Palestinian issue. The final status of Jerusalem al-Quds, which is one of the world's oldest cities, remains a core issue in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The city was divided following Israel's declaration of independence on Palestinian territories in 1948. The green line drawn after the Arab-Israeli War that year saw Israel in control of the western half of the city and Palestinians in control of the eastern side. But during the Six-Day Arab-Israeli War in 1967, Israel's army seized East Jerusalem along with the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, large parts of Syria's Golan Heights, and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. The United Nations declared all territories captured by Israel during the Six-Day War as occupied. As a result of the 1979 Israel-Egypt peace treaty, Israeli forces withdrew from Sinai. Israel also ended its occupation of the Gaza Strip in 2005, but the rest of the Palestinian territories, including al-Quds, remain under Israeli occupation. The final status of Jerusalem al-Quds was long supposed to be decided by the Israelis and the Palestinians during their talks. But Trump's announcement has now made any resumption of talks almost impossible. In the decades following the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, there have been many rounds of talks and initiatives to settle the Palestinian issue, but they have all failed to deliver. In 1991, the United States and the Soviet Union co-sponsored a conference in Madrid, Spain. It was designed to be a follow-up to the Egypt-Israel Treaty. Arab nations, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt were invited to the talks. Jordan's delegation also represented the Palestinians. At the conference, former U.S. President George H.W. Bush spoke of goals that remain elusive to this day.
What we seek is a Middle East where vast resources are no longer devoted to armaments. A Middle East where young people no longer have to dedicate and all too often give their lives to combat. A Middle East no longer victimized by fear and terror. A Middle East where normal men and women lead normal lives.
In 1993, Palestinian and Israeli negotiators met in secret under Norway's auspices. The talks led to an agreement that was signed between former leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat, and former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin on the White House lawn.
The moment when we dare to pledge what for so long seemed difficult even to imagine, that the security of the Israeli people will be reconciled with the hopes of the Palestinian people, and there will be more security and more hope for all. Today, the leadership of Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization will sign a declaration of principles on interim Palestinian self-government. It charts a course toward reconciliation.
The agreement known as the Oslo Accord implied that a Palestinian state would one day be set up. The accord was never fully implemented. In 2000, former U.S. President Bill Clinton hosted former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat. The talks failed because sources and correspondents say the maximum Barak offered was far less than the minimum Palestinians were demanding. In 2003, the U.S., the European Union, the United Nations, and Russia put forward a roadmap that envisaged an independent Palestine, but it failed to be implemented. In 2007, former U.S. President George W. Bush hosted Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas at the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland. Following that conference, the Israeli and Palestinian sides exchanged their proposed maps but failed to reach a deal. That initiative came to a halt when Israel launched a bloody offensive against the Gaza Strip in December 2008. The administration of former U.S. President Barack Obama managed to restart the talks, but the negotiations failed mainly because of Israel's defiant settlement expansion on occupied Palestinian lands. Trump's recent recognition of Al-Quds as Israel's capital has left the United States largely isolated on the world stage. It drew sharp criticism from America's closest allies. The European Union, for instance, has reiterated that it is not going to change its position on Jerusalem Al-Quds.
We believe that any action that would undermine these efforts must absolutely be avoided. A way must be found through negotiations to resolve the status of Jerusalem as the future capital of both states so that the aspiration of both parties can be fulfilled.
Palestinians have come down heavily on America, saying Trump's shock decision has left no room for any more U.S. mediation. The Arab world, which seems more divided than any time in the past decades, also condemned the move but failed to take concrete measures. Many analysts believe it was deep Arab divisions which convinced the U.S. and Israel that the time is ripe for the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani says Islamic unity is the only option to counter what he describes as a plot against the Muslim world.
The issue of Al-Quds belongs to the entire Muslim world. It is a sacred land for all of us, and today we have no other option but to remain united. We should be unanimous against Mr. Trump's wrong decision and condemn it.
States have been loud in their verbal condemnation of Trump's move. However, they have shown in action that they're not willing to take any measure against the U.S. or Israel that could jeopardize their own economic interests. The latest provocative move by the United States regarding the Palestinian territories came as many reports suggest that the Arab world's richest kingdom, Saudi Arabia, is warming up to Israel. Some sources even said the kingdom pushed the Palestinian president to accept America's initiative or resign. Palestinians are feeling increasingly abandoned by the rest of the Arab world. Observers believe Palestinian political leaders are finding it extremely difficult to explain to their people why they have for decades put their trust in America as a mediator. Palestinian resistance groups and the Regional Resistance Front Against Israel have warned against following any U.S. initiative. Now more Palestinians may be coming to the conclusion that unity and resistance are the only ways to demand their rights, which have been trampled upon for decades.